Well, we were sharing about fruit last week, and we're continuing this week, bearing fruit in our service. Wow. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Well, I was struck by a headline in the Guardian newspaper of the 20th of May this year. Farms still need up to 40,000 UK workers to harvest fruit and vegetables. Well, of course, Jesus was looking at the harvest of souls. Ask the owner of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. It's vital, this whole topic of serving, to our own spiritual growth as Christians. You'll recall the wheel diagram that we use so often, where we have four spokes: Bible study, prayer and worship, fellowship and service. And within our four F's, find, follow, fulfill and fellowship, service is key to fulfilling God's plan for our lives, doing those good works now which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so as we start a new day, a new week, why do we serve? Let's remind ourselves of the motivation to serve, even on this Harvest Sunday. Joshua 24, verse 18, it says, "We will serve the Lord because he is our God." Amazing thought, just that we serve because he is our God. And as we follow him, we discover that he has indeed laid before us a road of service. He himself did not come to be served, but to serve. And in Romans 12, we have that wonderful verse. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, some Bible translations translate that as worship, which gives that word worship a much broader expression. And also, just to remind us why we serve the Lord, is because the very end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, we get a glimpse of the river of life with that fruit-bearing tree of life there, yielding its fruit every month. "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." So in fact, service is going to be part of our lives forever and ever. And really, we get a chance in this life to get stuck in, to get practicing, to get doing it in the good times and doing it in the difficult times. So amazing. So who do we serve? In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5, we read the inspirational story of the Macedonian church, who out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They gave themselves to the Lord first and to us in keeping with God's will. So the service to the saints, the service is to one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord, serving one another, that even this church, out of their most severe trial, they had overflowing joy, which is an extraordinary thought, that the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, would be flowing and overflowing from their lives. Wonderful picture of service. In Ephesians 4, we hear that God's people, you and I, are to be equipped by the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. But notice it goes on, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the direction of our service, the direction of our works of service, are so that the body of Christ, you and I, brothers and sisters, may be built up. We give ourselves first and foremost, like the Macedonians did, to serve the Lord, but we give ourselves to serve the body of Christ. And as we will continue to see this morning, it's this available, receptive, devoted, trustworthy, character-filled community, this authentic Christian community that the Lord adds to their number. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12 to 13, we see something else. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Isn't that a wonderful passage, that our service of one another, our preciousness of the life we have together, overflows in many expressions of thanks to God. You remember the sheep in the passage on the sheep and the goats had adopted such a lifestyle of serving that they did not notice when they served those around them. When did we see you hungry? They asked. And Jesus replied, whenever you did for the very least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Again, it was out of the overflow of our lives and their lives that others were blessed. So let's not reverse these priorities and be so fixed on a societal agenda of service that we forget our dear brothers and sisters around us. And let's not leave the Lord standing outside the church, as in the church of the Laodiceans, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So where do we serve? And this is an interesting thing. In summary, it's three words: in his presence. We are a holy priesthood, and as the Levite priests in the Old Testament, it describes them in Deuteronomy 18 verse 7 as serving in the presence of the Lord. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense. That's 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 11. And surely in that there's the picture of prayer and intercession going on. Just prior to his crucifixion, in John 12 and verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Interesting that Jesus again is calling us to be in his presence. And that word there, when he says must follow me, it's actually, guess what? It's level 4, as we call it. To cleave steadfastly to one, conform wholly to his example in living, and if it need be, in dying. What does the Bible say? Without Christ, we can do nothing. When do we serve? Well, we serve with our lives laid down. As we heard, it is our reasonable service. Colossians 3 verse 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we serve all the time. How do we describe that? In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, every stream of thought, and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, like those sheep in that passage, we are to be by nature servants, just as Jesus came not to be served but to serve. There are always many ways to serve. Seek the Lord, ask someone in church about opportunities to build up our life together, for it to be more and more overflowing. I remember a dear lady, Mrs. Deutsch, all those years ago, and she was housebound, and yet she had such a ministry of prayer. She never wrote it down, but her intercession format was like a road atlas, like a network in her mind, and she would follow each branch faithfully, following those names that were on the branches to be prayed for. And she interceded so powerfully for many of those dear ones around her. We've seen examples, I'm sure, of hospitality, of reaching out, of caring, of mentoring, and practical helps within the body of Christ, within our fellowship. And surely the wonder of our life together, surely the harvest then that is plentiful when we start to see the needs around us, when we start to see the way in which our lives laid down can influence others, when we engage in the harvest field. It is at its most potent, of course, is when we're led by the Spirit and we experience walking with the Lord in what we are doing and how we do it. And that leads us on to, well, how do we serve? The first thing is we decide for it. Joshua 24 verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, who you served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What a wonderful verse that is. But notice in it, there's no age limit. Joshua was soon to die, soon after this statement, where he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But he continued to choose to serve the Lord until his death. Last week we heard of the parable of the two sons. The father says to the first son, "Go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later changed his mind and went. The father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Earlier in Matthew we read, "You cannot serve two masters, both God and money." The fact is, we all serve something. In deciding to go or not to go, to do or not to do something, we end up serving something or someone else. We live in a generation, of course, that's bent on serving self, self-help, self-actualization. That's a big word for Sunday morning. Literally, self-service. And so that leads on to how do we serve? Well, if required, we repent. And Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, said, "The Lord says to Israel, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me." Jeremiah 15, verse 9. The son in the parable of the two sons clearly repented. He turned around, and from initially refusing to serve, he went. One of my favourite verses about this whole area of service is from Luke 9:62, and essentially what it's exhorting us to do is not to look back. "He who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God." And another, while I'm on some of my favourite verses, another wonderful verse from Zephaniah 3 verse 9. You know, we do it together. We serve together. Zephaniah 3 9. "Then I will purify the lips of the people, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder." Oh, what a wonderful image that is of us serving together. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. "We are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building." In other words, the places where we minister to the people we serve, that is really God's field and God's building, especially in relation to the spiritual house that's being built. Well, working together is going to be a key assumption of as we develop this a little further. How are we to serve? Well, we should be equipped. And we're equipped by those who are already serving the Lord, those who are recognised as leaders and emerging leaders in the fellowship. We're equipped by trusted ministers and ministries, like we heard in Ephesians 4. We're also equipped by those who have served the Lord before and have gone before us. They inspire us by their testimony and the fruit. More generally, we're equipped by those who model something to us. Examples, role models, working in a team with someone who is just a great example of laying down their lives and bearing fruit. What a wonderful way to grow, by joining a team and serving together. Well, let's not underestimate this morning how the way we live our lives directly impacts the way others do, positively or negatively. May we continue to grow more and more, become one of those who are effectively equipping others. Now, of course, because one of the things about this area is it can rub off. It can rub off on other people down the generations, David, the father of Solomon, and Solomon were both described as servants. Manoah, the father of Samson, and Samson were described as servants. It doesn't necessarily mean family lines. I mean, Moses and his successor, Joshua, were recognized as servants. And finally, in this area of being equipped, well, we're equipped by God's word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a wonderful reason to read the Bible and to be equipped by his word. Well, a few more things that relate to how we serve. I just was wondering of a few things that might be just humorous but get the point across. Would any of us desire to serve with someone who is not dressed appropriately and is not really ready to serve? Can you imagine that in a military setting? Well, Luke 12 verse 35 says we need to be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Well, surely our lamps need to be full of oil, and that's often a reference to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be ready in season and out of season to share and to be encouraging one another. We remember in this passage that Jesus is coming again. Oh, we'll be seeing that more and more as we go through Matthew. And the passage goes on to say it will be good for him to find us ready on his return. Romans 13 describes this clothing, as does a couple of other verses. Romans 13 verse 14, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Colossians 3 verse 12, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Core. Aren't those the attributes of a servant right there? And 1 Peter 5 verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. Jesus, of course, was dressed with a towel around him and a basin of water and washed his disciples' feet. Hours before his betrayal and death, he went on serving till his dying breath. Now, would any of us desire to serve alongside someone who is half-hearted? Well, of course not. Deuteronomy 11 says, if you faithfully obey my commandments, I give you today to love the Lord and your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He will send rain in season, and the land will yield its crops. So we're to serve with all our heart and with all our soul. Amazing. Matthew 4 verse 10 describes Jesus' response to Satan in the testing. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Well, just a few more things to finish off. Anyone desiring to serve alongside somebody who's miserable and complaining? No takers. Psalm 10 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. Oh, what a wonderful thing. The Bible would even point out that we do it in the good times. in the times of prosperity, so that no doubt we can do it even in the hard times. I often say it is our joy in the Lord that is a potent witness to others. Anyone desiring to follow someone and serve alongside someone who's cocky and arrogant and puffed up? No, probably not. So we serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him. Deuteronomy 10 verse 20. Psalm 2 verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. And of course, even in the New Testament in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Anyone desirous to serve alongside someone who's not reliable or trustworthy? Well, no. Thank Christ Jesus our God, who gives me strength, that he considered me faithful and appointing me to his service. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. We need to be faithful in our service. And of course, what a joy that will be on that day when we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So surely those would be the words we would want to be greeted with. And finally, does anybody want to serve someone who's disobedient? Well, no. We want to serve in obedience, and our blessing today will come from Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, that we walk in obedience with him. And I'll leave that for us to say together at our blessing time. So among all the 35,000 decisions we make in a day, as for me and my household, and as for you and your household, let us choose to serve the Lord and enjoy the greatest adventure we can ever embark upon. Amen.